Good morning, everyone. It's another beautiful day, and the sun's shining, and it's the winds are down. It's just a beautiful weekend. You know, honestly, there are times that I get the feeling homesick. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. He's ready to go home to the United States, but no, I'm not. What I am talking about is a homesickness for eternity. I'm looking forward to our final resting place. I remember preaching one time in Texas, and I was preaching on heaven. I said, heaven's going to be a beautiful place. How many's ready to go? Well, one guy raised his head and said, I'm ready, but I don't want to get on the bus tonight. Well, I think that's where most people's thoughts are. Our focus really is here. So let's take a real quick look at why we could be feeling homesick. And I'm going to do something I don't often do. I'm going to be referring back to most recent news. First, leaders claim a climate emergency in the Pacific. Well, whether you believe in that or not, it's the truth that there's some pretty crazy things going on in our weather right now. All you have to do is look around. Secondly, burnout nurses are leaving their job to work in cosmetic surgery. The nurses are burnt out. They're tired. They're working way too hard. The pressure's too hard. Here's one that can hit close to home if you drink milk. Kohl's raises the price of milk 25 cents, which we know will put a lot of pressure on a lot of the struggling families. And with inflation, things are just going up and up and up. And then we have the wars and conflicts all around the world. And if we focus too much on those, then we'll just say, what in the world's going on? Well, we do know what's going on. And then all of us have a certain amount of health struggles to concern us. And as we know as Christians, public sentiment has turned against Christians. And then as of the census, for the first time in history, Christianities, or those who claim Christianity, are less than 50%. It almost makes you want to say, surely, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I can also hear some people say, Pastor Tony, I think you're getting so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Well, I think for somebody to be so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good is a very rare person. But what I believe to be the norm in Christianity today is people are getting so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. Now let me ask you to be honest, which one are you? Do you ever think about heaven? Or are your thoughts all wrapped up in the here and now? Anyway, I don't believe it's wrong to long for heaven. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that God has put eternity in our hearts. It's just not Christians. That's everyone. All of us have a longing that can only be fulfilled with that eternal life. We fell from eternity with Adam and Eve, but that longing is still there. It's still there. C.S. Lewis said that he wondered if deep down we have ever desired anything else but heaven. Well, in truth, there are times that we just want out of here. So with that in mind, I want to go over to the Bible and look at some things that the Bible has to say about heaven. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for a focus on heaven. Now help us, Lord, to get our heads around why we long to go there and what you have prepared for us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, we talked about the struggles that the Apostle Paul went through. And if you recall, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was left for dead. And he lost so much of, matter of fact, he lost everything that he was before his conversion. He was absolutely crucified with Christ. And not only that, but he was rejected by most of the people that he knew. He would have really gone through persecution, and most of us will never go through that kind of persecution and struggle. But Paul had an interesting perspective when it comes to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17, let me read. For our light affliction, now keep in mind what he's been through. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow, let me read another translation. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So our struggles, listen, this doesn't minimize our struggles here, but our struggles may be hard, but in light of heaven, they will just fade away as we move into the future, the eternal future that God has for us. So heaven is real. It's going to be great. Christians in the past years have gotten so excited about heaven. But you know what? I think today it's lost some of its shininess. And you know why? I think we've bought into a lie. And a lot of Christians today think when we get to heaven, we're going to be disembodied spirits floating around playing harps on clouds. Not a very attractive view of heaven. Have you ever heard of a young person who's longing to be a ghost? I don't think so. So what will heaven be like? Well, let's take a look. Before we get into a discussion about our heavenly home, let's first look at what we will be like. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2 says, Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. So we're not completely sure what that transformed body is going to be. But one thing for sure, we'll be like Jesus, and that's good enough for me. How about you? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's now, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That's Jesus then. Folks, that sounds great. We're in for a big change, and one for the better. Now let's look at our future home. Keep in mind that what we're going to look at is what's coming in the future after the resurrection of the dead. John 14 verses 1 through 3, Jesus is talking, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, in the Father's house, that's heaven, there will be mansions, beautiful places to live. Now, I know some Bibles say rooms. Well, rooms in the Father's house is going to be all right with me. But Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Places and rooms doesn't sound like a ghost town to me. It sounds real. Now let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation 21, verse number 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem is a city. Cities have people moving around. It has buildings. It has streets. So this is not a ghost town. This is a real, literal place. Revelation says the city has walls. It says it has gates. This is a literal, visible, touchable, livable city that God has prepared for us in the future. But Revelation says some other things about this new Jerusalem, and we'll take a look at that. Go with me to Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 22 verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its city and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The New Jerusalem will have rivers and trees and fruit with leaves. This sounds like a great place to me. I want to go and live there one day, don't you? But one of the main attractions of heaven is that Jesus will be there. The Apostle Paul stated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 17, first he said that the dead in Christ shall rise to meet and will go up to meet the Lord in the air. Let me read the rest of that. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, look at this, we shall always be with the Lord. We'll meet together with Jesus in the air, and we will be with him forever. Eventually, we'll return to the new heavens and the new earth. And you know, it's going to be a wonderful time. That's why I long for heaven. But we can't talk about heaven if we don't at least reference the other side of the story. We all know those who trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are placed into the Lamb's Book of Life. But what about those who don't know him? Well, let's just let the Bible speak to that. Revelation chapter 20. Soon after the great white throne judgment, a very sad event takes place. Verses 14 and 15. Then death and Hades, or hell, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into that lake. We all know that those who trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our names are written in that book of life. But for those who do not, you don't have anything much to look forward to in eternity. I won't belabor that issue, but let me just say, please strongly consider what I have just read. So in conclusion, heaven will be a beautiful place. It's a place that we have a longing to go to. And we have that longing that only heaven and an eternity can fill. But the big question remains, are we going there? With that in mind, I'd like to give you some things to consider. First, do you trust Jesus with your eternity? Now, come on, be serious. The reason I'm saying this is because Billy Graham made the comment that 50% of the average Christian on the church pew are lost. So I want you to consider this for yourself. Are you trusting Christ for your eternity? Have you repented and turned away from your old way of living to a new way to follow Christ? We have to make that change. Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? Not you, not your wife, not your family, not your boss, but is Jesus Lord of your life? Well, let's let Paul speak to that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Well, most of us would say yes. But have you personally proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? You need to do that. You need to make him Lord of your life. Only you can do that. And if you do these things, you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you claim and make Jesus Lord of your life, then your name's written in that book of life, and eternity, your eternity will be in heaven. That's the most important question you'll ever answer in this life. Folks, heaven's going to be beautiful. It's going to be long. It's going to be eternity. I wouldn't want you to miss it. But you need to be sure. Don't let the sun go down tonight without making sure. And then confessing the wrong ways of living. No, you don't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect. But confessing the wrong ways of living and come walk the other way. And then believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then proclaim Jesus as Lord. Make him that central focus of your life. Then we can be for sure. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this snapshot of heaven. It's going to be such a beautiful place, and we all long to go there. Lord, surely come quickly. But Lord, there's a few people who still need to make that decision to trust Christ and get on board the trip to heaven. Help us to do just that today. In Jesus' name, amen.